Good morning. It is a great day to be alive. This is the Lord's Day, and we thank Him for it. My name is Anthony Stafford, and I am here with Samuel Hazleton V, and we are Old Lion, Young Lion, excited to be coming across your speakers, your headphones, wherever you're listening to Old Lion, Young Lion. We are one of the greatest Bible teaching shows on the air, and we're so excited to be able to do this. This is our third season, and we're excited for what is going to be coming next year, our fourth season. We will be jumping from not only audio, but audio and video. And I hope that you stick with us. We'll be out for the summer. We only have two more episodes of this season. Then we'll be out for the summer. And then in this fall of 2026, we'll be jumping to video on all the places you can get your video and audio podcast. So thank you for sticking with us so far. And we hope this show continues to be a blessing to you. Now, Sam and I have now been doing this show for 3 years, and the reason why we started it is because we intend to follow the instructions from the Word of God that tell us that the righteous ought to be bold as lions. And on Old Lion, Young Lion, we intend to be bold every single week that this show airs. We also are part of the elder team of a local church in Schenectady, New York, called Electric City Baptist Church. And we meet every Sunday at 10:30 at 2350 Hamburg Street in Schenectady, New York. We'd love for you to come and be a part of one of our gatherings where we're going to sing praises to the Lord, open up the Word of God, declare His truth, and fellowship with the brethren. If you're lost and looking for community, we can provide that. We want you to come and be a part of the kingdom of God. Now, every single week, we make sure that we dig into the Word of God, but this particular episode, we want to make sure that we give a shout out to our brother, Joel Nelson. He's not necessarily a sponsor of this show, but he went home to be with the Lord this year, and we just want to say thank you, Joel, for all the memories, for all the exciting times, and being a part of our church plant for the last 7 years. Joel Nelson, he made it known to the world that Jesus was his boss. Jesus is our boss too. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and we, Old Lion, Young Lion, work for that Lion. And so, Joel Nelson, we salute you, we thank you for your service, and we know that you've entered into the presence of your Lord. Okay, as we get into today's show, Old Lion, would you, like we do every single week, would you open up our show in a word of prayer?
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to be on the radio once again, Lord, and you have given us this platform, you've given us these airwaves, and I pray, Lord, as today we get into further mysteries of God, mysteries about the rapture, mysteries about the partial hardening of Israel, I ask that you would, Lord, help us to speak truth. Help us to not veer off the path. Lord, these are not easy things to communicate. These are not easy things to understand. Lord, help us to be those who unveil these mysteries and not create confusion and cloudiness. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We pray a blessing over all those that are listening as well. We don't know what you're walking through, what difficulty as we head into the summer. We don't know what hardship that you're coming out of or the things that are kind of weighted down on your shoulders, but the Bible says that you can bring them to the feet of Jesus. And we pray that this show just edifies you, encourages you, and brings you closer to your Creator. Jesus has a purpose and a mission for you, and we hope that you find it in this life, and we hope that this show brings you a little bit closer to that as well. Old Lion, can you give us a little recap of where we've been in the last little bit of time, the last few episodes, kind of where we're going today and what we have going on in the future?
Well, as soon as we finished our Theologies series, which seemed to last a long time, we broke into this new series, which is called The Mysteries of God. We introduced that a couple weeks ago. Last week, we got into 1 Timothy 3:16, which introduced the mystery of godliness or the mystery of Christ. And this week, we're getting into two other mysteries that are in your Bible. One is the mystery of the rapture, and another one is the mystery of the partial hardening of Israel. So these two mysteries, they may seem on the surface not to have anything to do with each other, but we're going to tie them together as the Bible itself does. I just want to mention one thing about our mystery last week, the mystery of godliness, that we didn't really cover much, which is the actual incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the mystery of how God impregnated this woman, Mary, and she conceived and bore the Son of God himself. And we didn't get into that a lot, but that is part of this whole mystery of godliness, God being manifest in the flesh.
Yeah, and Oline, what I want you to do in just a moment before we get into today's episode is I want you to kind of rehash for all the listeners the 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse. I want you to share with them why this verse is so important, and I want you to talk a little bit about maybe about why these mysteries of God are so dear to you, and I'll tell you why they are for me, folks, and this is a little bit of a personal testimony that I want to share. This comes from one of my favorite books in the entire Bible, the book of 1 Peter. And 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us, for all those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 6. It says, all those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus, to them, Jesus is precious. But the verse doesn't end there. The verse says that all those that believe on him, they shall not be confounded, or they shall not be confused. And so it is the believer's life is one that's based on the solid rock of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We are not confounded and confused. The followers of Christ are not to be ones that are flippant, flimsy, lacking, back and forth, not able to give an answer to people that ask, but rather not confounded, but standing on the word of truth. So we have these mysteries that seem like they might be confusing, but if you're a follower of Jesus, you shall not be confounded. So that's one of the reasons why these mysteries are important to me is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Oldline, give us the indication of what's happening in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and talk to us about why the mysteries of God are important to you.
Yeah, so let me just start off with our working definition of the mysteries of God here.
Yeah, tell us.
It's previously hidden supernatural truth that has now been revealed in part and will be fully revealed and fully realized. And there's an interesting scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. It says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. And this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, this is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards or household managers of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful.
This is important about the faithfulness of the steward. That doesn't mean that we always understand every little aspect of the entirety of who God is. But what it does mean is the things that have been revealed to us, as Peter said, what we have seen and what we have heard, we must preach and tell. Mm-hmm. And I will be, and so will Old Lion, will be a steward of these mysteries. The Old Testament, and Old Lion, I know this is one of your favorite verses, so I know you're getting kind of Bible heavy today, which we like that on this show. But why don't you give us, it's the duty of a king. This verse in Proverbs gives us some reason to not only search this out, but to be a good steward of these mysteries.
Mm. So Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2, it says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it is the glory of kings to search it out. This is talking about us. The Bible says that we indeed will rule and reign with Christ. We are those priests and kings that will rule and reign. We are joint fellow heirs with Christ of the world to come. So it is speaking about us. And so it's our job to dig up, discover, uncover, and explain these mysteries that God has concealed for us to enjoy.
And I love that. And I think that throughout Scripture, we find that God is intentional about wanting us to seek after him. Knock, and it shall be opened. Seek, and you shall find. So, Oline, before we get into today's topic, I want to just ask you that personal question. And if you want to talk about 1 Corinthians 4, you can. But what I'd like you to do is just give the folks at home a quick little snippet. Why are the mysteries of God something that's important to you? When I came to you about this show, I brought 11 mysteries, and you had about 38 mysteries. And so throughout the scripture, and I thought I had a long list of mysteries I was going to have to cut down to 7. You had 72 mysteries you had to cut down to about 15. So why is this particular topic something that's near and dear to your heart?
I'll tell you why. This world that we're living in right now is shrouded in darkness. Mm. It's, Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, that the God, the little g, God of this world, is blinding the minds of the unbelieving to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is a privilege that we have for those whose eyes have been opened. The veil has been uncovered for us. God has given us revelation of who he is, who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And so now we have the privilege of being able to take these things that have been revealed and open the eyes of the blind, literally, that are part of this world and haven't yet understood and seen the mysteries of God.
I love the idea that you're missional about the mysteries, and maybe that should even be the phrase coined about this entire series. We're missional about God's mysteries, but the 1 Corinthians passage that I want to bring up today, and I want to start by digging into our mysteries that we're going to search out and the ones that we're going to reveal and talk about today, is one that everybody kind of likes and everyone's interested in. Everyone's always, their interest gets piqued when you bring up the end of the world. Even the disciples, when Jesus begins talking about the end of the world, they say, God, when shall these things be? They want Jesus to reveal all these things to them. So as we're searching out the mysteries of the Bible, what we don't mean is something that just seems mysterious. Your old grandma's phrase that says God works in mysterious ways, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about maybe God sent an angel to save you from a possible car accident, or you stirred up your lucky charms and the symbols lined up for a particular message that's directing you for this day. What we're definitely not talking about is what month you were born in and if a cancerous Sagittarius person is going to tell you how to live your life. We're not talking about any of those things. The Bible explicitly says that there are mysteries of God that we ought to be stewards of, and one of them today shows up in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 in verse number 51, and this is what the Bible says. Behold, and this is the Apostle Paul talking, behold, I show you a mystery. And now he's going to explain that mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. And so this mystery today, this mystery that Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 51, which we would call the mystery of the rapture, old lion, what is Paul getting at before we start breaking down the passage? What is he talking about? Give us the sense.
Well, first of all, to put this in context of Paul's time, Paul was a Pharisee. There was a huge division in the quote-unquote religious or church of his day among the Jews.
Okay.
Half of them believed in a resurrection, and half of them did not. It was a controversy among Paul's peers when he walked in Judaism at that time. And so the resurrection and this talk about the transformation of the human body, the remaking, if you will, of the human body was something that was even controversial in Paul's time.
Sure.
So now he is taking this mystery one further. He's saying this resurrection is not just going to happen to those who are in the tombs and people who have died, but also we shall not all sleep. We're all going to be transformed. We're all going to be remade and transformed and changed into this new image of the Son of God himself, but not all of us are going to go to the grave before that happens.
So what you're saying is there this mystery, before we start breaking it down, because this idea of the rapture and the end times and what's going to happen to our world, it's something that kind of intrigues the heart. And the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes that God set eternity in the hearts of man so that we might have desire to figure it out. So knowing the future, what prophecy tells us about the future, what's going to happen even to our very neighborhoods and cities, these things always are intriguing to our heart. But the mystery that Paul is revealing is twofold. And I want you to read through some of the verses in just a moment after 1 Corinthians 15, 51. But here's what it says. It's twofold. It's number one, we all shall not die. There's going to be people that will not die on this earth, that when Jesus returns, there's going to be people still alive. And when he calls people up to heaven with him, there's going to be people still walking this earth. Now, most of us, or in history, most of the Christian saints that have gone to be in heaven with the Lord, just like our brother Joel we talked about, they died a natural death. But this mystery says we shall not all do that. that. And then the next part is something about all of us that are followers of Jesus. All of us shall be changed or be transformed. I'm not sure what that's going to look like. I know it's not the body that I'm stuck in now, but this is the mystery. We all shall not die, but we all shall be changed. So Old Line, why don't you read through a couple of the verses in 1 Corinthians 15:51 to where you think the mystery is being explained a little bit further. And let's begin to break down some of this before we start to look at some alternative passages and maybe even break down a timeline or two for you about when this is going to happen.
Well, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. So this is going to happen in the blink of an eye. It's going to happen in a moment, and there's this trumpet. And so this trumpet, we're going to get into some other scriptures that talk about this very same last trumpet, which God gives us a clue into the timing of this event. But it's going to happen in the blink of an eye. It's going to happen at this last trumpet.
So this will be an instance, and I think this is so great because there are opponents, people that are antichrist, and they want to believe that all life, all things that have come to be took millions of years to come into this place. But the God that I serve, Jehovah, the Lord of all, the King of Kings, he changes people in an instant.
That's right.
He changes people in a blink of an eye. And the people that just can't believe that, they need to deny the power of God. They need to stop his ability to be able to do these things. They need to make sure that creation and recreation and new things take millions upon billions of years. But the miracle of God changing us from death to life happens in a moment of faith. And the moment that we're changed from this body that we're in to a glorious body happens in a twinkling of an eye. Now, you may have heard preachers across all of time be talking about what their timelines are and what happens and how the end time is going to be. And someone might have told you about some sign that happened and how they looked at this. And if you take the words Barack Obama and mix them up three different ways, and then you put the Hebrew translation, it means Antichrist. And you might be hearing all kinds of ideas of what the end times is going to be and how it's all going to come to be. You may have seen these happen online all the time, but let me just give you an insight here from Revelation chapter number 8. Revelation chapter number 8 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, and when he opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven for about a half an hour. So what I personally believe this is God is going to call us all up to heaven, and then he's going to tell us all to get out our charts and our timelines, and he's going to say, now erase all that and look up at the board, students, and he's going to give us the corrected timeline. It's going to take about a half an hour. Some of us are going to try to hold out. Some of us might be a teacher's pet, but Jesus is going to sit there for a half an hour, and we're all going to be silent as we get full on correction and exhortation for our foolish timelines and charts and lineages of men. What's going to happen is Jesus is going to take care of it. Now, do I know that's what's going to happen? No. But what is going to happen during that half an hour of silence? I know not. Neither am I going to let Old Line talk about it either. But the end, this 1 Corinthians 15, this changing in the twinkling of an eye, talk to us about this. When is this going to happen? What are some other passages that kind of attach to this? What's this last trump? What's going on here that needs to intrigue us about this mystery of that Paul is revealing in 1 Corinthians 15?
Well, first of all, in speaking to the question of what is this that's happening, if we look in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, it says this, it says, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, that's Jesus, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Mm. And so this is an answer to that question of what this body is going to look like, this resurrected body. It is going to be similar to the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see in scripture throughout different things about the risen Lord Jesus Christ, his appearance. Revelation chapter 1 describes some awesome things about what he now looks like. We see in the resurrection appearances where he's literally walking through walls and walking through doors. We see that he is traveling very quickly from place to place. He's not able to be recognized in every situation by his own disciples who walked with him for over 3 years. There are some unique aspects of this new body that Jesus has that we also will share.
Well, give us some of the verses from 1 Corinthians 15 that kind of describe what is happening after these two mysteries, that we all shall not die, but we all shall be changed. In the next couple of verses, it kind of gives some indication about what we're going to be transformed into. So share with us a little bit about what, in the twinkling of an eye, it's not just we're going to disappear. What are some of the other things that are going to happen?
It says, for this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. We can't even wrap our heads around the idea of something that never dies.
Right, right.
It's not really part of our world. It's not part of our conception, because this world has been corrupted by sin. Sin came into the world, and death through sin. So that's all we've really ever known. But these perishable bodies will put on, will be clothed with immortality, and we shall never again face death or destruction.
Well, what I see happening here is interesting, because I'm sitting here, my knee hurts, my ankle hurt, my back hurts. I'm lifting up my kids at home, my neck hurts, all kinds of stuff hurts. So I'm waiting for the redemption of this body. Hmm. But when I look at the program from Genesis to Revelation that God is kind of building, there seems to be this event in 1 Corinthians 15 that also shows up in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. It also shows up in Revelation, possibly chapter 10, possibly chapter 11, possibly Revelation chapter 14. Key folks, looks like Revelation has some interesting facts about this. But there seems to be this event that Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to call his people. All those that have placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ shall change in the twinkling of an eye, that we're going to be caught up together with him in heaven. 1 Thessalonians says the same thing. He goes, don't be sorrowful for those that have fallen asleep. In some day, I will blow the trumpet. The sound of a trumpet from an angel's voice will ring out, and all those that have placed their faith, the dead in Christ, shall rise first, and then those that remain shall meet him in the air. So there's this specific event that happens. But when if you read the Bible from the beginning to the end, you find that there's this other group of people that is linked to this rapture timing, that in the calendar of events that Jesus is kind of laying out for us in all these passages of scripture, there's this additional mystery that's attached to the mystery of the rapture. And I want to put it out there because folks need to deal with this. If you look online right now or listen to the news, there's a bunch of news always about people discussing back and forth about what's happening with this thing called the nation of Israel. And did you know that the Bible speaks about it? We don't know what's always happening, what's always true about what's going on the news, but the Bible shares this additional mystery in Romans chapter number 11 that we see is in connection with this 1 Corinthians 15 mystery. So, Old Line, give us the Romans 11 mystery, and then tell us some of the connection points that you see between the Romans 11, the life from the dead, as well as the 1 Corinthians 15 that were changed from one thing to another thing. So give us the mystery from Romans 11.
Okay, the mystery of Romans 11 is this. Israel has been hardened. It says in Romans 11, verse 7, it says, what then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking, that is righteousness. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. Those who rejected Jesus in his first coming were actually hardened. God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear, down to this very day, the Bible says. And then later on in the same chapter, it says this, and even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. So it says that the natural branches, that is natural Israel, was broken off of this rich olive tree because of their unbelief, and that because of their unbelief, we, the rest of the world, the Gentiles, those of us who are not of Jewish descent, were grafted in to this rich olive tree because of their unbelief. And so they made room for us. And so now the Bible says this in verse 25, lest you, that's me, that's a Gentile believer, lest you be wise in your own sight. I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in.
Interesting.
And in this way, verse 26, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, and he will banish ungodliness from Jacob. The other thing that happens here, we have a promise from God here that Israel, which is now partially hardened, which is in blindness, the nation as a whole has rejected their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to come a time when the fullness of the Gentiles have come in to the church, come in and been saved. At that moment, a door is going to be opened up, and the eyes of the nation of Israel, in large part, are going to be opened. And there's a spot in this chapter that says if their hardening or their exclusion meant life for the rest of the world, how much more will their full inclusion mean but life from the dead?
So we have this interesting kind of dynamic where there's a promise to those who are followers of Jesus that he's going to come back and you're going to be transformed, you're going to be changed in the blink of an eye. And then after the fullness of these Gentiles, this we might even call it the church, after the fullness of them that have come in, God is going to, what it appears like is that God is going to give us this second mystery that the blindness of Israel is going to be fixed or adjusted when Jesus, the deliverer that comes from Zion, is going to turn the ungodliness away from Jacob or the people of Israel. So they're in this blind state. This is the mystery. They're in this blind state. And then Jesus comes back. All those people who have placed their faith in him, he receives them. He raptures them to himself in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. But then what happens is it appears that then God turns his eyes toward his brethren that did not receive him when he came the first time. And he says, now that I've raptured up these people, now that I've taken up these folks that have placed their faith in me, I'm going to now look at this mystery of the blindness of my brothers of the flesh, and I'm going to turn away all ungodliness from Jacob. He tells them even that he's made a covenant unto them that I shall take away their sins. And the Bible makes it clear that they cannot remain in unbelief or blindness to have their sins blotted out. But the mystery of this, I think that Oline and I were kind of discussing, and it's interesting to us, is that it seems that these people in Romans chapter number 11 that have had partial blindness given to them do not participate in the 1 Corinthians 15 event. There seems to be a secondary event that happens where a deliverer from Zion is going to turn away the ungodliness from the nation of Israel that is not part of the transformation or the changing of those that have placed their faith in him throughout the time of the Gentiles. Okay, Oline, I don't know if I got that exactly right, but why don't you give us a little bit of additional information pertaining to this mystery of the changing of the people of faith versus the mystery of turning away the ungodliness from Jacob?
Well, a couple things here. First of all, Jesus said this, one of the parables he gave, he said, the last shall be first and the first last. Israel was first and they are going to be last. We were last and we are going to be first. And that's kind of the order of events. But as far as a clue to the timing of all this, we know that these events, the rapture of the church and the restoration of the nation of Israel to their Messiah, the Lord Jesus, are going to happen around the same time. And these events
seems to be
are triggered. We find out in Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, it says this, "But in the days of the trumpet call to be sounded by the seventh angel, the mystery of God would be fulfilled, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets." So we see this mystery, and we've been talking about the mystery. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We have this mystery of the partial hardening of Israel. Both of these mysteries, I believe, are going to be resolved. And the timing of this is at this seventh trumpet. And the book of Revelation talks about these seven trumpets that are blown. And finally, on this seventh one, it says in Revelation chapter 11, in verse 15, it says, "Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Three verses before that, we see these two witnesses that are prophesying in Jerusalem. It says, they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they went up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies watched them. All of this imagery about the rapture, this imagery of us being caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, is all tied in. And we see this in the book of Revelation. We see these two events, the rapture of the church and the restoration of Israel, kind of coming together and dovetailing at this very same time.
I think so. And it's, to me, it's kind of interesting because we're sitting in kind of uneasy times. We never know what's going to happen next. We feel like the world sometimes is in disaster. The next minute we're taking our family to vacation. It seems like it's great. But the Bible reveals these mysteries to us. And here's what we know to be true, that we all shall not die, but we all shall be changed. that the partial blindness of Israel is going to be turned away because a deliverer is going to come out of Zion. And guess what? His name is Jesus.
That's right.
So the one who shows up and changes us, Jesus. The one who takes away all the ungodliness out of the tribe of Jacob, out of the nation of Israel, Jesus. So there's one Lord who is rich unto all according to salvation over the Jews and the Gentiles, and it's fulfilled in these mysteries that we all might not fully understand, but the Lord has given them to us to become a steward. Go search out 1 Corinthians. Go search out Revelations 11. Go search out 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. It's a great book to dive into. Our channel is about diving into the Word of God. We don't get into the sports world. We don't touch on the politics world too much. We don't touch about the fashion world. We love the Word of God. We love to dig deep in that thing and proclaim it boldly. We're happy that you're here with us in these mysteries today. Thank you for sticking with us, and God bless.
And we'll see you in church.